from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia becomes the first nation to own land in Mecca. Indonesia urges U.S. and Russia talks following the expiration of New START. My name is Ray, and now the news in detail. Indonesia has made history as the first nation in the world to be granted official permission to own land in the holy city of Mecca, Saudi Arabia. This confirmation was conveyed directly by President Prabowo Subianto while attending the One Century Muhammadiyah Kubro Nahdlatul Ulama event at Gajayana Stadium, Malang, East Java yesterday. Putri Cahya Purnama has the details.
In his speech in front of thousands of worshippers, President Prabowo emphasized that Indonesia is the first country in the world to be given legitimacy to own land assets in the holy city of Mecca. This land ownership is projected as a strategic step by the government to optimize services for Indonesian citizens who perform worship in the Holy Land. Through this policy, Indonesia, a country with the most Muslim population in the world, plans to have a special Hajj village for Hajj and Umrah pilgrims.
Kita mendapat kehormatan, mendapat hak untuk kita bisa memiliki lahan di kota suci, di Mekah.
We have the honor and the right to own land in the holy city of Mecca. We will build a Hajj village in Mecca for pilgrims and those performing the Umrah. All pilgrims will be guaranteed decent housing and a good place to stay.
Nanti dijamin semua jamaah akan mendapat hunian yang layak, tempat yang baik.
According to the president, the success of this high-level diplomacy cannot be separated from the very special bilateral relationship between Indonesia and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Furthermore, President Prabowo revealed that the Saudi Arabian government even took the extraordinary step of adjusting its internal regulations.
Ini adalah pertama kali dalam sejarah bahwa pemerintah kerajaan Saudi.
This is the first time in history that the Saudi Arabian government has allowed another nation to own land in the holy city of Mecca. Ladies and gentlemen, they changed their law specifically to honor the Indonesian people. As a result, many other countries are now following suit.
Regarding the completion target, the president hopes that this Hajj village project can be completed within the next 3 years. The construction process will be carried out in stages, with the initial priority focused on the availability of 1,000 rooms in the near future. The president also emphasized the government's commitment to reviewing the reduction of Hajj costs in order to ease the financial burden on people who want to worship. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has expressed concern over the expiration of the Nuclear Arms Limitation Treaty between United States and Russia and has encouraged both countries to keep lines of communication open to prevent miscalculation and escalation. In an official statement posted on X on Sunday, 8th of February 2026, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry said that the expiration of the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty on Thursday, 5th of February 2026, has exacerbated uncertainty in the global security situation. According to Indonesia, the end of the treaty increased the risk of a nuclear arms race as well as the use of nuclear weapons, while underscoring the urgency of achieving concrete progress in nuclear disarmament efforts. Indonesia has also called on other nuclear armed states to prevent the emergence of a new arms race. The Indonesian government, through the House of Regional Representatives, marked the 2026 World Interfaith Harmony Week and the International Day of Human Fraternity in Jakarta, highlighting interfaith harmony through concentrated actions to address climate change. Anissa Audrita has the details.
Indonesia held the World Interfaith Harmony Week 2026 and the International Day of Human Fraternity in Jakarta on Sunday, February 9, 2026. At the event, Chairman of the Indonesian House of Regional Representatives, Sultan Bakhtiar Najamuddin, emphasized Indonesia's role as a pluralistic nation that has been able to maintain unity amid religious diversity through the values of the Pancasila ideology. According to him, this provides a strong foundation for Indonesia to speak about interfaith harmony at the global level.
We are not nation united by commonality, but by a noble consensus called Pancasila, the five principles of state ideology. That is where Indonesia has the moral legitimacy to speak about interfaith harmony on the world stage.
Sultan Bakhtiar further explained that this year's commemoration in Indonesia is manifested through interfaith action to address climate change, including tree planting activities at houses of worship across various regions.
Today, climate crisis is more than just an environment issue. It is a justice issue, humanitarian issue, and moral issue. Floods, droughts, crop failures and ecological disaster are felt most severely by the most vulnerable. Therefore, when we plant a tree at a house of worship, we are actually planting a growing hope. We are reaffirming that caring for the earth is a part of our worship.
Sultan Bakhtiar said the forum served as a gathering place for interfaith leaders while also reflecting Indonesia's strategic role at the global level in promoting interfaith harmony. He added that the House of Regional Representatives will continue to promote tolerance, dialogue, and social justice through development policies, education, and community empowerment. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government has reaffirmed its commitment to positioning its halal products as a strategic economic asset as well as global standards. Hasna has the details.
The government conveyed its policy to strengthen the role of Indonesian halal products as international references and drivers for national economic growth. The policy was delivered by the head of the Halal Product Assurance Organizing Agency, Ahmad Haikal Hasan, during a working meeting with Commission 8 of the House of Representatives in Senayan, Jakarta on Monday. During the meeting, Ahmad Haikal Hasan explained that global recognition of Indonesia's halal system continues to grow through various international forums.
Terlihat dari acara di Afrika.
It was evident at the event in Africa, which was attended by 62 countries, where almost all of them agreed to recognize Indonesia as a center for international standards. We are also developing an application positioning Indonesia as a center for international halal standards. That is our key focus.
The event in Africa referred to the Halal 20 Summit 2025 held in South Africa from November 15th to 17th, 2025. The forum served as a platform for countries to consolidate agreements on the direction of global halal standard development and to open wider export opportunities for Indonesian halal products. Beyond international recognition, the Halal Product Assurance Organizing Agency is also preparing concrete measures to strengthen Indonesia's leadership in global halal governance.
Di bulan Maret Awal minggu pertama.
In early March, during the first week, we plan to invite countries to be listed as committee members, with Indonesia serving as the president of the International Halal Standard.
President International Halal Standard.
Ahmad Haikal Hassan added that the agency remains committed to safeguarding the quality of halal products as strategic national assets by tightening inspections and testing the foreign products entering Indonesia. The measure aims to prevent the massive influx of imported goods while protecting local micro, small and medium enterprises from being eroded by more competitive foreign products in the domestic market. Hasanul Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
The improvement of national health quality has become one of the main focuses of the Indonesian government. Through the strengthening of the National Health Insurance Program, the government encourages broader access to services, higher quality care, and financial protection for the community. Rizka Fadila has the details.
The Indonesian government continues to strengthen efforts to improve the national health quality as part of the 8 priority agendas of President Prabowo Subianto's Astacita. Finance Minister Purbaya Yudi Sadewa revealed that the government is committed to ensuring that the public has access to broader, higher quality healthcare services as well as financial protection in meeting healthcare costs. During a meeting with the House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday, February 9th, according to Minister Purbaya, the effectiveness of the National Health Insurance Program is one of the keys to realizing an inclusive and sustainable health system.
Sebagaimana kita ketahui bersama bahwa APBN.
As we all know, the 2026 redesigned state budget remains expansive and sustainable to support 8 priority agendas, including realizing quality health, which also aims to encourage the effectiveness of the National Health Insurance Program, or JKN, thereby improving access, service quality, and protecting the financial well-being of the community in meeting health costs.
According to him, through this program, the government can encourage the improvement of healthcare service quality while strengthening protection for the community so that they are not burdened with costs when accessing medical services.
Kalau kita lihat tuh total biayanya mencapai.
If we look at the total cost, it reaches 247.3 trillion rupiah. So the government is truly serious about improving public health. The government consistently realizes quality health. In 2026, the government allocated a health budget amounting to 247.3 trillion rupiah, as I mentioned earlier, an increase of 13.2% compared to the previous year.
Furthermore, Minister Purbaya revealed that the government is preparing a policy to waive arrears and fines in the program contributions for non-wage earners and non-workers. This policy is expected to alleviate the burden on participants, increase active membership, and strengthen the sustainability of the national health insurance system. Rizka Fadila reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian men's tennis team secured a 3-0 victory over Togo at the 2026 David Cup, a result welcomed by the Youth and Sport Minister Erick Thohir as a key moment for the revival of national tennis achievements. Ofra has the details.
Indonesia recorded another positive result in tennis after hosting Togo in the 2026 Davis Cup World Group 2 playoff at the Gelora Bung Karno Tennis Stadium in Jakarta. The home team sealed a convincing 3-0 win over Togo, earning a ticket to the first round of the World Group 2 finals scheduled for September 2026. The home side's dominance continued on the second day, Sunday, February 8th, in the men's doubles match. The doubles victory confirmed Indonesia's 3-0 lead over Togo. Under Davis Cup regulations, a team that secures 3 wins automatically clinches the tie, although remaining matches may still be played. Indonesia's Minister of Youth and Sports, Erick Thohir, welcomed the strong result achieved by the national tennis team.
Tadi sudah menang 3-0 sama Togo, artinya kan lolos ke grup 2. Dan mudah-mudahan.
We have just won 3-0 against Togo, which means we have qualified for World Group 2. Hopefully, this can mark the revival of Indonesian tennis. Moreover, the president has designated tennis as one of the 21 priority sports, and we hope this achievement can contribute to building consistent tennis performance and success in the future.
Dan mudah-mudahan ini menjadi sumbangsih yang bisa membuat prestasi daripada tennis secara konsisten ke depan.
Indonesia's Davis Cup squad is strengthened by players who also helped the national team win the men's team gold medal at the 2025 SEA Games in Thailand. This reflects the continuity of development and the positive performance of Indonesia's men's tennis team at both regional and international levels.
The Indonesian government, through the Minister of Communication and Digital, has expressed a strong commitment to maintaining press freedom while protecting the public from the threat of disinformation in the digital era. In the commemoration of National Press Day 2026 on Sunday in Banten, Indonesia Minister of Communication and Digital emphasized the importance of media sustainability amidst the rampant use of AI. The full report delivered by Kiki Purba.
Minister of Communication and Digital, Mutia Hafid, stated that the Indonesian press is currently in an important phase with significant challenges. She believed that these challenges can be overcome because the public now requires not only fast information, but also accurate and precise information.
Yakinlah bahwa Komdigi tetap berada terdepan.
But rest assured that Komdigi remains at the forefront of upholding freedom of expression, freedom of the press, while also being responsible. Because in principle, the press not only provides information, but the ultimate perspective is the protection of society, protection from false information, protection from other matters.
Perlindungan dari informasi yang tidak benar, perlindungan dari hal-hal lainnya.
Furthermore, she explained that a healthy press encompasses aspects of economic sustainability and ethical consistency. This is crucial considering that disinformation is currently a global issue that can erode public trust in journalistic product.
Kita juga atau pemerintah mendorong penguatan.
We, or the government, also encourage the strengthening of an information ecosystem based on the principles called BEJOS, responsible, educational, objective, and healthy.
Regarding the widespread use of artificial intelligence or AI, Mutia Hafid remind the newsroom to continue prioritizing the human touch in order to maintain the value of empathy and integrity in journalistic work. Kiki Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
Thailand Prime Minister Anutin Charvirakul could potentially return to office after his party, Jumnaithai, claimed victory in the country's general election held on Sunday, January 8th. At the Bumjathai Party press conference in Bangkok on Sunday evening, Charvirakul expressed his gratitude for the votes and support given by the Thai people to his party, which secured up to 19% of the vote.
We accept the Thai people's decision to place their trust and confidence in the Bumjathai Party. We regard this as a mandate from fellow Thai citizens who want us to govern the country, to bring stable and sustainable progress to Thailand, and to resolve all the problems that trouble our fellow citizens.
Preliminary results released by Thailand's Election Commission show that the conservative populist Bumjathai Party won more than 190 out of the 500 seats in the Thai parliament. The Progressive People Party and the populist Pheu Thai Party came in second and third place, with preliminary results of more than 110 seats and more than 70 seats, respectively. This election was held amid various dynamics in Thailand, including border tensions between Thailand and Cambodia. And that was Newsline.
only in Indonesia.
When does one really reach maturity? Nias people has a way to find out. There is a Fahombo Batu, the most well-known culture from Nias Island, North Sumatra Province. Fahombo Batu is done by a young man in traditional costume. If a young man decides to do the Fahombo Batu and succeed, he will be seen as a grown-up. This young man must jump over a small stone pyramid. This pile of stone is around 2 meters tall. During the jump, the visitor can only see the action from afar.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Miduana Traditional Village in Balegede Village, Cianjur Regency, West Java Province, Indonesia, is a tourism destination which has a rich culture and the charm of typically natural beauty of mountains. Interestingly, the village with 21 houses inhabited by 21 families also maintains their ancestral traditions even in modern times. For example, there is a tradition of building houses with doors facing south or north. The procedure for planting rice is still traditionally carried out there. Listener, not only interesting culture and traditions, Miduana Traditional Village also has an extraordinary special food for outsiders, namely payo fish. Payo fish resembles tadpoles but larger in size, namely the size of an adult thumb. This animal lives attached to rocks in river flows in the area. Payo fish is usually prepared by frying until dry. Apart from that, people often process it into payo fish curry. It tastes so delicious, particularly when eaten with warm rice. Listener, according to the beliefs of local people, this payo fish dish is said to provide the properties of youth and longevity. Evidently, dozens of people in this traditional village still look fit and healthy although they are more than 100 years old. They can do daily activities including going to the garden to pick vegetables. For those of you who are curious and want to prove the benefits of payo fish, please just come to the Miduana Traditional Village in Cianjur. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. I am Ahmad Faisal. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Of Indonesia.
Pergi dari hidupmu adalah jalan yang terbaik yang aku lakukan di waktu yang salah. Tiada ku sesali harus berpisah denganmu. Yang aku sesali adalah caranya. Selalu ku bertanya dalam hatiku, menyesalkah dulu engkau memilih aku yang jerih payahnya tak pernah cukup untuk selalu memenangkanmu dalam hidup. Tuhan tolong sembuhkan hatinya dan maafkanlah aku. Sayapnya yang ku harap bahagia bersamaku, manusia biasa. Sejak awal kita memang tak setara. mati-matianku memberimu cinta. Namun bahasa cinta kita ternyata amat berbeda. Dia yang paling merdu ku simpan dalam sebuah lagu, tanpa sadar lebih dulu melukai hatiku. Tuhan tolong sembuhkan hatinya dan maafkanlah aku. Jika akhirnya aku merasa dia tak jadi rumah. Sayangnya yang ku harap bahagia bersamaku manusia biasa. Sejak awal kita memang tak setara. Dan maafkanlah aku. Jika akhirnya aku merasa dia tak jadi rumah untukku. Benar dia bidadari yang ku patahkan sayapnya. Biasa sejak awal kita memang tak setara. Sejak awal hidup kita memang tak setara. Sejak awal cinta kita tak setara.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Menuju Tanjung Puting. Menuju Tanjung Puting, which means heading to Tanjung Puting. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled Saya Selalu Bangun Pagi. Saya selalu bangun pagi, which means I always wake up early. This conversation took place between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and Naomi, a tour guide at a hotel in Pangkalan Bun Central, Kalimantan. Chris informs Naomi about his habits. Let's listen to their conversation.
Maaf Chris, kita harus berangkat pagi-pagi untuk bisa melihat orang hutan.
Tidak apa-apa, saya selalu bangun pagi.
Kalau begitu, mari kita berangkat.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. Saya selalu bangun pagi. Saya selalu bangun pagi, which means I always wake up early. I will pronounce it slowly and you can repeat after me. Saya selalu bangun pagi. Saya selalu bangun pagi, which means I always wake up early. Saya, saya, which means I. Selalu, selalu, which means always. Bangun, bangun, which means wake up. Berangkat, berangkat, which means to go. Pagi-pagi, pagi-pagi, which means early in the morning. Melihat, melihat, which means to see. Orangutan,
orang utan, which means orangutan. Tidak apa-apa, tidak apa-apa, which means it's okay. Kalau begitu, which means if so. Mari, mari, which means come on. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, saya selalu bangun pagi. Saya selalu bangun pagi, which means I always wake up early. In this sentence, there is an expression selalu, selalu, which means always. The word selalu, selalu, describes the activities that becomes a habit. In this statement, Chris' habitual activity is bangun pagi, which means waking up early. Now, let's listen to another example in using the adverbial word selalu, selalu, which means always, to describe an activity that has become a habit. Saya selalu makan pagi sebelum pukul 8. Saya selalu makan pagi sebelum pukul 8, which means I always have breakfast before 8 a.m. Chris selalu membawa motornya kemanapun. Chris selalu membawa motornya kemanapun, which means Chris always rides his motorbike everywhere. To give the information regarding time, there are several expressions commonly used by Indonesians, such as dini hari, which means at dawn time, pagi pagi, which means early in the morning, siang bolong, which means midday or noonday, and larut malam, which means late at night. Such expression gives a nuance of meaning sangat, sangat, which means very. Before closing, let's speak bahasa Indonesia today. For more clarity, let's listen to the example of a conversation one more time.
Maaf, Chris. Kita harus berangkat pagi-pagi untuk bisa melihat orang utan.
Tidak apa-apa, saya selalu bangun pagi.
Kalau begitu, mari kita berangkat.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Saya Selalu Bangun Pagi. Saya selalu bangun pagi, which means I always wake up early. Hopefully, today's topic is useful for those of you who wants to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa!
Voice of Indonesia.
Banyak masalah hidupmu, ku harap dirimu tak usah mengeluh. Percaya dan yakinkan dirimu, kau bisa mengubah keluh jadi senyum. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara yang kuasa untuk jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu, tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu. Masih banyak yang lebih susah hidupnya. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara yang kuasa, jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present original song from South Kalimantan entitled Ampat Si Ampat Lima. The song, which was composed by a maestro from South Kalimantan, Anang Ardiansyah, contains advice about human soulmates. With lyrics in Banjar language, the song Ampat Si Ampat Lima reminds us that your soulmate is not going anywhere. If someone is destined to live with the person they love, then they will definitely fall into their lap. The lyrics in the song are written in typical Banjar rhyme verses, which are full of cultural values of the Banjar tribe in South Kalimantan. Well, listeners, this is the Pandas Music Group featuring Alin Markani, Anissa Cahyani, Mang Moy, and Lim with the song Ampat Si Ampat Lima from South Kalimantan. Enjoy the song!
Thank you. tak lagi di jalur yang sama. Bacaan dan doa yang mulai berbeda. Engkau dan air mata kita bicara. Masuk logika, termangu hatiku. Kau menggenggamku mendadaknya. Berdamai dengan apa yang terjadi. Di semua masalah ini, jujur tak mudah untuk melangkah pergi. Ini soal hati, bukan yang diyakini. Oh, masuk logika, termangu hatiku. Kau menggenggamku menadanya. Oh, gila, ini tak biasa.
Of Indonesia.
Tiwas tak kondeli tenanan sayangku wes ora kurang-kurang japelmu dadi pelampiasan. Wes kepacut nyaman terus liramu. Apa kowe ora ngerti
kutu piye aku.